Congratulations to Chelsea, the new champions of Europe.
And Cesar Azpilicueta raises the UEFA Champions League trophy. Chelsea are winners in 2021. They are kings of the continent.
Havertz is the hero as the Blues defeat Manchester City in Portugal.
What a pass this is for Havertz, who could be through, gets around Ederson and will score and put Chelsea in front. Manchester City 0, Chelsea 1.
Stay with us for all the best analysis and reaction to tonight's final. Plus, we'll reflect on the best moments from this season's competition. Well, welcome from me, Rob Daly, as the champions of Europe were crowned tonight in Portugal. The Blues, champions of Europe for the second time in their history. Commentator Mark Scott, former Chelsea striker Leanne Sanderson, and European football expert Chris Parrott join me for a review of tonight's finale. Chris, they did it.
They did, and fully deserved. They were the best team. They nullified Manchester City like few others have done over... well, ever since Pep Guardiola has walked through the door, in truth. And, you know, their first success in 2012 was dramatic, and it frankly was almost unbelievable the way that they beat Bayern in their own backyard. Actually, when you look back on the game, this seemed quite straightforward.
Yeah, it was a fantastic, you know, I think everybody just expected Manchester City, and it sounds funny to win the game, but and Chelsea were the underdogs, but it just goes to show you that, you know, some days players just don't turn up on the big occasions, and I think tonight Chelsea just turned up, you know, individually. They had a couple of performances. I thought Havertz was fantastic, and I thought Reece James was brilliant, but I think collectively they just did really, really well. Manchester City never really looked threatening, and it's strange to say that because we look at this year and how amazing Manchester City have been in the Premier League, and at times they've looked taken my breath away at times, but tonight they just were not in a position where they ever looked like they were going to score, which is a strange thing to say.
Felt like City got stage fright this evening, which will really haunt them for a long, long time to come, because not only were they beaten, but they were beaten without ever really getting going. Chelsea had the better opportunities throughout. A lot will be looked at the tactical decision from Pep Guardiola not to play a holding midfielder in either Rodri or Fernandinho, decided to start Raheem Sterling, which raised some eyebrows. We thought that was going to mean that City were going to be more attacking and it was going to be all-out front-foot football. As it turned out, Manchester City only had one shot on target in the entire 90 minutes, and that came in the first few minutes. They were flat, they looked muddled, and I'm sure Pep Guardiola will go away feeling really, really cross that they didn't turn up tonight.
It finished Manchester City 0, Chelsea 1 in Porto. Let's remind ourselves of how things unfolded.
Now they're on the attack, though, with Havertz into the area. Werner takes it in his stride and then can't get enough meat in his effort towards goal.
He should have put that one away again.
Werner now on the edge of the area, going the long way round and firing it into the side netting.
No Manchester City defensive midfielder, and I think at the moment they're being overrun in that sort of area of the pitch.
It's Foden suddenly finding himself into the area, and I tell you what, that is a magnificent challenge from Antonio Rudiger. Foden was through on goal, Rudiger threw himself in the way of the ball and made a sensational block to keep it at 0-0.
Wow, that is an unbelievable tackle from Rudiger. Almost, you know, as good as a goal. I'm sure Phil Foden's eyes lit up.
What a pass this is for Havertz, who could be through, gets around Ederson and will score and put Chelsea in front. And it's Thomas Tuchel's side who have first blood at the Estadio do Dragão. Manchester City 0, Chelsea 1.
What a fantastic finish, you know. Great composure from Havertz. And based upon the fact that there's no defensive midfielder in there, that could be a massive problem. And I think it's showing it's been a problem.
Mason Mount, what a pass that is.
Pulisic has found Havertz. Havertz is one-on-one here. Havertz has delayed and has now played it in. Chance here for Pulisic, which he puts wide.
Wow, I would have put my money on that. I was just waiting for the net to ripple, Mark. I really thought it was a goal.
Chelsea's blue is the colour once again. They are kings of Europe for the second time in their history. Kai Havertz's goal wins the trophy for the London club. They have beaten
beaten Manchester City. It is finished. Manchester City 0, Chelsea 1. And Cesar Azpilicueta raises the UEFA Champions League trophy. Chelsea are winners in 2021. For the second time in the club's history, they are kings of the continent.
Well, German head coaches have dominated the Champions League in the last three seasons. Klopp, Hansi Flick with Bayern, and now Thomas Tuchel winning it for the first time with Chelsea. Mark, Leanne and Chris and myself, Rob Daly, to break it down. OK, I think we should probably go chronological. And should we start with the holding midfielder thing, Mark? It was the big one. It was the team news that had us all absolutely floored at kickoff, that Raheem Sterling was playing, no Fernandinho, no Rodri. What was the thinking, do you think, initially from Pep Guardiola going into this final?
Well, I can't wait to find out, to be honest. I'm sure that that's going to be what he's grilled about when he addresses the media. I think that we said beforehand that, you know, we thought it was just a question of whether it would be Rodri or Fernandinho. That seemed to be the big question. But I also said sometimes he overthinks things, sometimes he gets a bit spooked, and we thought we'd seen a bit less of that. We thought he'd sort of become a bit more accustomed to just choosing the team he wanted rather than thinking about the opposition and overthinking it. But perhaps that came back again this evening.
Can I put this back to you, Mark? Because I think that is a point, obviously, that's made a lot about Pep Guardiola. But hasn't everything they've done this season been relatively unconventional? I mean, you look at the stuff, Chris, you go, well, oh, you shouldn't be playing De Bruyne and Foden as strikers, and it's worked. All these weird things he's done have worked to get them this far.
Yeah, but I think Pep Guardiola has made 99.9% of his selection decisions this season based on what he wants to do with Manchester City. I honestly think, and a lot of people, City fans, said, we played our B and C teams in those two matches against Thomas Tuchel's Chelsea in the English Premier League and the FA Cup. I really wonder whether those wins for Chelsea did impact his decision. And he thought, do you know what? I've tried twice to beat Chelsea playing our normal way. Maybe I'm just going to take the brakes off now, and we're not going to play a holding midfielder, and we're going to try and go full craziness like we've seen them in the past. And maybe that's the way to beat this ultra-organised team. It backfired, it didn't work. And I think, as well as Fernandinho not being there, Ilkay Gundogan was pushed back into a very unnatural role. And his influence has been enormous this season going forward. He's their top scorer. We barely saw him in the Chelsea box.
We speak about the decision before the game to not play, you know, Fernandinho and Rodri. And now I think it's going to come back, and it's, you know, bitten Pep a little bit. You know, tactically, usually he's a magician, you know, when it comes to stuff. But I think he'll have to hold his hands up on this one, because we couldn't really analyse it until we, you know, full time, because you just think, oh, maybe it might work. But I also think that Manchester City still had good enough players out there to have taken the game to Chelsea. And maybe they underestimated Chelsea a little bit, because Manchester City usually, any given day, any given time, can usually beat anybody. And I just think they came short today. And I think, you know, Mark mentioned it before, and I think they didn't even look threatening. And it was really strange to see a Manchester City team that looked like at times of completely annihilated players and teams, and to look like the way they did in one of the biggest games of their careers. So these things happen, they really do, but it was disappointing. And I also felt like Pep looked a little bit dejected during the game. You look at someone like Tuchel, and often at times things can be won on the sidelines. I played in games where we've won based upon being in the tunnel. You know, you can see when people don't quite fancy it when they're standing next to you. But I thought Tuchel from the get-go just looked more animated, and I'm not saying that's why they won the game, but Pep looked like at times a little bit dejected.
He certainly did, actually. That's a good point. And I mean, we talk about the fine margins in these finals. Imagine 7 minutes in, and Leanne pointed to it in commentary, they didn't do it again. Ederson with that ball to Sterling, where he was nearly through on goal, but there was a brilliant piece of recovery work from Reece James, who was one of the outstanding players. Thiago Silva went off on 38 minutes with injury. You're worried for them there, Mark. But Chelsea just kept going to half-time and obviously got their goal.
Yeah, I mean, they were incredibly organised, and when Christensen came on, he just slotted straight in, and they didn't really miss a beat, did they, throughout? We speak about discipline and organisation, and I think that this was really... Whereas we're looking at the decision that Pep made with not playing a holding midfielder, I think that the real work for Chelsea in this victory has come on the training ground. Because throughout the game, everyone knew their job. it was so well drilled into them. So whereas, you know, we might look that Pep lost it by his decision on the day, Chelsea might have won it from the months under Thomas.
His fingerprints were all over this performance. Every single Chelsea player knew their jobs. And if they switched off for a split second, you spotted it when Thomas Tuchel was right at them, shouting, track, press, yeah, for the whole game. And whereas Manchester City, you looked at Mahrez and even De Bruyne before he unfortunately came off injured, they looked, lost would be too strong a word, but they didn't quite know what to do. They've been so well drilled all season, but I think Thomas Tuchel won the tactical battle. And look, you know, this isn't a new thing for Chelsea, keeping clean sheets in the Champions League. 9 this season, which equals the record. Edouard Mendy has equaled the record for the most clean sheets by a goalkeeper in a single season. So this is a squad, even prior to Thomas Tuchel arriving, that knew how to keep clean sheets in Europe under Frank Lampard. But no doubt he's taken them to a new next level, and now the champions of Europe.
I know he didn't have to make a save, but he might be the signing of the season, Edouard Mendy, for the way...
Brilliant.
And Leanne did mention it earlier about that faith in terms of the defence is a lot different. Leanne, let's break down the goal then. What happened? How did Chelsea take the lead 3 minutes before half-time?
Yeah, I mean, it was almost, I wouldn't even say it was against the run of play. I think both teams, you know, came out, looked like they were trying to win the game, which was refreshing to see, because we've seen at times these two teams have cancelled each other out in the top teams. But, you know, we spoke about Mason Mount barely touching the ball, but the assist was unreal. And I was really impressed with Havertz tonight. You know, I've been waiting for an opportunity for him to kind of, you know, make a net mark on the main stage, come to Chelsea with a lot of promise under a heavy price tag. And I thought he was brilliant. And the way he composed himself to take the ball around the keeper in that position, you know, at times I think no one's ever really made Edison look like that, if you know what I mean. Edison didn't know whether he should come, and that was the ball from Mason Mount was so good that Edison came, you know, and Kai Havertz just took the ball around him and great composure and slotted it in and completely caught Manchester City off guard.
And I think that, you know, we have to speak about Mason Mount as well, because there weren't many clear-cut opportunities in the game. There were only 3 shots on target in the entire 90 minutes, and obviously one of those was the goal. There weren't many players that had real standout moments throughout the match. There were some magnificent performances. N'Golo Kanté was mesmeric in that midfield role where he just ate everything up and really commanded everything that was going on in that midfield area. But if you're looking at moments in isolation, the pass from Mason Mount was an absolute joy to behold. And although Kai Havertz still had a lot of work to do, it was that pass that completely seared Manchester City open and led to the opportunity. And aside from that, Mason Mount didn't do a great deal. But how often do we say that the best players can spend 90 minutes doing nothing, but then in the blink of an eye, score a goal?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a gem of a pass. You wonder whether Fernandinho or Rodri on the pitch, would there have been that gaping gap? But I mean, the ball was perfect, the weight was fantastic, and I don't know, look, for me it's what football is all about in a match between two squads that over the last 5 or 10 years have been very, very expensively assembled. Let's be honest, a kid who joined at 6 and had Frank Lampard as his hero growing up, he wasn't actually a Chelsea fan growing up, Mason Mount, but for a guy to come through from that young at a football club and then in the richest and the biggest match in club football come up with the decisive moment. I don't know, I think that's what sport is all about, moments like that for players. And we saw at the end, he hugged the trophy as if he'd wanted that for his whole life.
Chelsea become just the 13th team to win more than one European Cup. Tonight was the 66th European Cup final. We saw Ben Chilwell pitch side looking at his medal while he was being interviewed, almost in disbelief. Thomas Tuchel's going through his interviews now. Looks absolutely drenched, but I think that's sweat more than anything. he was bombing up and down the touchline to such a great extent. And the Chelsea players will continue their celebrations long into the night. Into the second half, we had this big moment before the hour. And I feel, Leanne, it's going to be one of those iconic Champions League images of Kevin De Bruyne going off, big black eye after a challenge from Rudiger. It really felt like a deflating moment for Manchester City.
Yeah, definitely. I think we spoke about, you know, the fact that both these teams had so many healthy players that were injury free, and then, you know, Thiago Silva went off and Kevin De Bruyne, and it was really horrible to see. I think it doesn't matter which team you support, to see, you know, a player or a person going off in the way that he did. You know, both players, Thiago Silva and Kevin De Bruyne, were in tears. But I think the fact that they took, you know, the protocols were in place for the concussion test and things like that for him to have to go off, because you could clearly see he needed to. He wouldn't have wanted to go off, but he needed to. So, you know, it's sad. I don't think he was really in the game at that moment in time, but I hope that he's going to be okay, obviously, because he's one of the best players in the world. And, you know, I'd say Manchester City missed him, but at the same time, I don't think it was a foregone conclusion. With the way Chelsea were kind of nullifying everything Manchester City seemed to try, I don't think that it would have been a foregone conclusion they would have won if he was still on the field. But obviously, they would have had more chance because, as we've seen, you know, Mason Mount made that pass for the goal, but Kevin De Bruyne can make that moment, can't he, at any given time. So I do think he obviously was a massive void when he went off, but I do think before that even happened, and I wish him, you know, the best of luck, and I hope he's going to back to being healthy soon. But I do think Chelsea, you know, nullified him pretty well tonight.
Yeah, I think they did. He wasn't as much an influence on the game before he went off as I think Chelsea fans would have feared. But it was quite remarkable. And I think the best thing you can say about Chelsea's defence was that City kind of ran out of ideas. And in the end, you know, actually one of their best chances was from a Kyle Walker long throw. And you think of the swagger and the style that City play under Pep Guardiola. Some of the best football that we have seen, actually, certainly in the English game. And they're almost reduced due to Chelsea's defensive strength to putting balls into the penalty area and hoping it would bounce their way. And that, to me, just shows how well Chelsea defended for the whole 97 minutes in the end, because we had 7 minutes added on time due to that injury to Kevin De Bruyne.
And Sergio Aguero came on to try and help City into the closing stages. Pulisic had that one-on-one.
Yeah.
It's the first American male to play in a Champions League final. There was a very late chance for Riyad Mahrez, but there would be no way through for Manchester City on the night. And Cesar Azpilicueta lifted the trophy tonight as Chelsea captain. Let's find out what it means to him to win the game.
I came here 2012 after the Champions League win. And of course, you know, I wanted to repeat that. And tonight, just amazing. My family here is a special, special day.
There are more quotes coming out from Azpilicueta as well, because Kai Havertz, in fairness, like Timo Werner's had his critics this season about how long it's taken them to embed themselves into the game. Azpilicueta on Havertz says he deserves it. A tough season, but he has a top mentality. He's going to be a star. He already is. He's won the Champions League. And what a night for him, Leanne. It could be the moment maybe where Kai Havertz really kicks on and becomes a Chelsea superstar. I could tell from commentary you were really impressed with his showing tonight.
Yeah, I thought he was magnificent. And, you know, I have somebody that's come out and said, you know, him and Timo Werner need to step up a little bit more. I know it takes a while to acclimatise and adapt to English football. It really does. And when you go into another country, I've done that myself, it isn't easy. I used to think if he was a good player, top player, you can go and play anywhere. But I think people forget that, you know, the language barrier, all these different things. And these players have come during a pandemic, so it's a little bit different. You know, they can't gel with their teammates, they can't hang out with them, all those things that, you know, players do when they go to another team. But I thought he was fantastic. Not just his goal, like the way he went past players, you know, he just looked, had so much guile. He just looked fantastic. I thought he was brilliant. And, you know, I think there's much more. I don't even think that's the best game we're going to see him play. I think he was playing, you know, maybe 6 or 7 out of 10. I think he can even take it to another level, because I just think he's got way more in him to give. It was also a fantastic performance, and I'm excited to see what he can do for Chelsea next season.
The club's record signing, Mark. He's had a tough season, Kai Havertz. Not only because there's been that settling in period, and of course he's in a new country, as Liam was saying there, but he was also out for ages after COVID-19 hit him particularly badly earlier in the campaign under Frank Lampard. A brilliant way to finish the season for him.
Yeah, and I think you could tell in that interview that everyone is really made up for him. I think they probably all know that when he arrived with that really big price tag that he was going to be feeling under pressure. But he's really come to the fore, you know, recently, I would say. You know, 3 goals and an assist in his last 5 league games for Chelsea before this evening. And, you know, we know that he's got talent. You know, myself and you have seen him a lot in the Bundesliga, Rob, haven't we, playing with Bayer Leverkusen. Yeah, yeah. So we felt it was just a matter of time before he came to the fore. And obviously, you know, he's playing in that sort of unfamiliar position as well, you know, as that false nine, although he's done quite well when he's played there for Bayer Leverkusen as a centre-forward last season. So he's got that talent, he's got that ability, and he's still only 21. So, you know, perhaps, you know, everyone expects instant success from somebody that's coming into a league, which is tough anyway, but especially when you're still in the early stages of your career.
Yeah, and also I think we have to now say, tonight, magnificent. He was very, very good in the second leg of Chelsea's semi-final win against Real Madrid. He was arguably their second best player. I say second best player because I think we probably, I know it's been mentioned, but we should probably discuss N'Golo Kanté tonight, who got the official man of the match. He got the official man of the match in both legs of the semi-final, didn't he?
Yeah, this, both semi-finals he got player of the game.
I mean, you know, the he's so unassuming, the way, you know, that there's the famous clips of him driving out of Chelsea in, you know, quite a small car compared to some of the cars the players, but he is absolutely colossal on the pitch. And he, I mean, he's playing as well now as he ever has done.
Well, we were talking to Claude Makélélé pre-match about him, and he couldn't sing his praises higher enough. I tell you what, we'll save our players of the game, and I think we're going to need someone different from the whole panel. Let's hear from another player who, like Havertz, has had a tough debut season in England, but is a European champion, striker Timo Werner.
I think you can win something else before it's bigger in a club football. And yeah, it's brilliant how we won it today. We were in the first half, we wanted second half, but only defending. And we did so well and we are so happy. We suffer a lot, I think we run a lot in the first half. When you see our team in the change room, we were finally dead, but we wanted our 90 minutes. And that was the result. We are so happy.
Clearly, absolutely delighted that the Timo Werner. I mean, Mark, we saw a bit of him, you know, a fair bit of him in Germany. He was banging in the goals last year. He did miss his chances in that opening 15 minutes. But I think you and Liam were touching upon it in commentary. He brings so much to the Chelsea team that they can't not play him. They can't not play him.
Yeah, because it's more than just about goals. It's about maybe creating the space or causing the worry for the opposition, because they know that you've got that pace to get him round the back. So you can almost be a nuisance by just being there and them knowing what strengths that you've got and the dangers that they might be able to exploit. And that's something that's been stressed, that, you know, it sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it, to say don't just judge a striker on their goals, because that's basically the currency that they deal in. But, you know, he's a prime example that it's more than just the goals that you need to view him against. And you know, I think that he certainly adds something to that side, and that may well have played a part in the space that was there to exploit. Werner maybe making a run out wide, dragged the City defence out wide, and there was the opportunity for Mount to put Havertz through.
I think as well he's going to be given the amount of time to, you know, bed himself into the team. I think if Chelsea would have lost this game, I think a lot of the fans would have probably gotten Werner's back again, because, you know, he's missed a lot of opportunities. I think if we're still at this stage, this point next season, when he's missing opportunities, I think there will come a time where people can say he needs to score more goals. But I agree that he does bring a lot. You know, he's got great pace. He holds onto the ball very well. He goes past players. He's able to maintain the ball. But at some point, he's going to have to convert those chances, because I don't think you can be Chelsea's, you know, main centre forward and not score goals.
Agreed. And also, I think from a Chelsea fan's point of view, this is perhaps one of the most exciting things, is that we're 30 games into Thomas Tuchel's reign. They are a club with some serious financial backing. We know that. He's not yet had a transfer window. And you think, if he can add to this group of players, and maybe, because we've seen how good Werner is out wide. I'm not saying that if Chelsea were to bring in another centre forward that we wouldn't see Timo Werner. He can most definitely operate in different positions across that front
line. I agree
with
that. I see him as more of a winger, you know. I see him more of as a wide player than an actual out-and-out number nine. I really do. I agree with that.
And if we've seen the likes of Sadio Mane and Mo Salah, it doesn't mean you're not going to get
amongst the goals
playing out wide. Leanne, on Aguero, final game for City tonight, 390 appearances, 260 goals. That's two goals every three games, a staggering record, a Manchester City legend. He was so emotional full-time, clearly distraught, thought he was going to sign out with a Champions League winner's medal. What a career he's had at Manchester City Football Club.
Yeah, fantastic player. I think, again, similar to what I was saying about Kevin De Bruyne, Manchester City seem to have these players that you can't help but like them and love them, because what Sergio Aguero has brought to the Premier League, not only obviously that goal he scored against QPR to make them win the league, but he's been an unbelievable player. And I think at times it's one of those sayings, not to sound cliche, you don't know what you've got until it's gone, but I don't think people fully understand just how good Sergio Aguero really is. And, you know, wherever he ends up, wherever he's going, Barcelona, they'll have an addition there. It doesn't matter his age, he still has it in him. You can see it. So I'm disappointed for him that he didn't get that Champions League winning medal tonight. And, you know, obviously he came into the game but didn't get on the ball. They didn't get him the ball. You know, sometimes people can say players need to find the ball, but he's the kind of player that if you give him an opportunity, as we saw the ball that Kyle Walker put over, inches away, you know, and he nearly got on the end of it. So I'm devastated for him, but he's been an unbelievable player for Manchester City and for the Premier League. How exciting has he played?
He's been a revelation, and he signed off in the Premier League last weekend in style. Mark, for Manchester City, the way it goes on, and Pep Guardiola, we can see him. He sat down for his press conference.
He looks close to tears.
Yeah, he's sort of looking to the ground and pretty disappointed here, obviously. It's going to hurt him personally and the football club that the wait goes on.
Oh, absolutely. And as I said to you, I think that he's his own fiercest critic. We know he's a football obsessive. What did I hear? Something that, you know, half an hour a day is the maximum amount of time that he doesn't spend thinking about football. So, you know, when you've got someone that is that intense about the sport, this is going to bug him for a long, long time, because he will be thinking, perhaps I didn't get it right, or I did get it right and the team didn't perform the way that they should have done. Both of those things are really going to hurt.
Agreed.
And he's going to go away and he's going to stew on that for a while. But as I said, with Thomas Tuchel, it may well have helped to inspire him when he took up the reins at Chelsea to win the competition after losing in the final last year. Who knows if this can galvanise Manchester City to push on. They might feel that they didn't do themselves justice and that can spur them on next season. But there's no doubt that he will be thinking about this for a long, long time.
I'd be amazed if it's 10 years until Pep Guardiola is back in the Champions League final, though. And I think we saw how much it meant and how much it hurt to those Manchester City players when they walked past the trophy. A lot of them were in tears. And I think if they can harness that, and of course they've broken through their club seeding this season already by reaching the final. Sometimes it doesn't happen in your first final. They'll be back and they'll be contenders again when the Champions League gets underway in a couple of months' time.
Mason Mount says, I can't put into words, I've lost two finals with Chelsea and they both hurt. To go all the way in the Champions League, it's such a special occasion. Thomas Tuchel, by the way, winning the Champions League 279 days after losing the final with Paris Saint-Germain to Bayern. This season's Champions League is now over. A lot's happened since match day one back in October. We've missed the fans, of course, but what drama we've been treated to. Kevin Hatchard looks back on some of the highlights.
Drama started early this campaign. On opening week, Shakhtar turned up at the mighty Real Madrid with only three first-choice players available due to injury and COVID.
Solomon for number three! What a goal! What a scoreline! Real Madrid nil, Shakhtar Donetsk three!
Madrid hit back with two second-half goals, but Shakhtar held on for a famous victory, despite essentially fielding an Academy 11. That group went down to a final night showdown. Madrid made it through, and so did Mönchengladbach, after a nervy wait in the Spanish capital.
They have just seen the full-time whistle on a tablet in Madrid. Borussia Mönchengladbach celebrate wildly.
This season's group stage also saw Youssoufa Moukoko become the youngest ever player in the Champions League at only 16 years and 18 days. It was another fantastic campaign for one of his teammates at Dortmund too.
They haven't had a shot until now, and it falls to the man who always scores, Erling Haaland with the tap-in.
20-year-old Haaland will be confirmed as the winner of the Golden Boot tonight. 10 goals in just 8 matches. His closest challenger is another precocious talent.
A hat-trick in the first leg for Kylian Mbappe, and he's got the first goal of the second leg as well to put Paris in front on the night, and 5-1 up on aggregate.
That treble by Mbappe was one for the ages, and he got two more as Paris knocked out Bayern in the last 8. He and Haaland might just be the next great rivalry, especially after neither Lionel Messi nor Cristiano Ronaldo got beyond the last 16. This season.
A sensational success for Sergio Conceição's side. They have eliminated Juventus.
That Porto success was the only knockout stage tie to go to extra time. Sergio Conceição's side were eventually knocked out by Chelsea. But whose name will be on the trophy by the end of tonight?
Chelsea's blue is the colour once again. They are kings of Europe for the second time in their history. Kai Havertz's goal wins the trophy for the London club. They have beaten Manchester City. It is finished. Manchester City 0, Chelsea 1. Well, what a season in the UEFA Champions League. Former competition winner Leanne Sanderson, match commentator to Mark Scott, and European football expert Chris Parrott with me to reflect on their highlights of the season. Leanne, do you fancy going first, your highlight of the 2020-21 Champions League?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of my favourite moments was, although Juventus haven't done as well as they expected, Agnelli bringing in Ronaldo, thinking they were going to win the competition by bringing him in. But when they beat Barcelona and Cristiano Ronaldo scored the two goals when it was 3-0, I know it was way back in December, and it seems like it was almost about five seasons ago, but Cristiano Ronaldo is my favourite player ever. And to see him, you know, I know they were penalties, and Weston McKennie scored as well, an American player. So it was really, I thought it was a really special moment. And they obviously beat Barcelona in both the games. So even though people can say, you know, Barcelona are not the team they used to be, I still thought it was an amazing moment that Ronaldo, you know, going up against Messi, we've used to seeing him play in the El Clasico. So I thought that was a really good moment.
And I'm going to mention a game that involved Cristiano Ronaldo as well, but he ended up on the losing side. It was when Porto went through on away goals after a 4-4 aggregate draw against Juventus in the round of 16 back in March. Sergio Oliveira's goal late on in extra time, shocking Juve to send them through. They'd actually had a man sent off as well, so it was an incredible job. Taremi was dismissed on 54 minutes, so you think how long they had to play with a man less, and they still got the job done away from home against Juve. I was commentating on that game, and it was some effort from Porto. So perhaps not the razzmatazz of some of the other games, but for a story and an upset, it was the one for me.
Can't believe I've picked the same game. But I've slightly different angle. I've gone with Pepe's performance in that match at 38. It was like he was 18. He was unbelievable.
Okay, great suggestions, everyone. Let's quickly reflect on two of the star players for this season's tournament. And it's no longer just hype and expectation. They're doing it in very real numbers, because Erling Haaland and Kylian Mbappe finished the season as the two top scorers in the Champions League. Mbappe with 8 goals and Erling Haaland with 10 goals. Get this, 10 goals from 17 shots on target. Isn't that mad? Eight games. I mean,
sounds like me.
It's Leanne Sanderson form.
Definitely doesn't sound like me.
Look, Leanne, I mean, do you think it's too much to say that this felt like that? I mean, it's been said a lot this season, the passing of the guard from Messi and Ronaldo to this pair, or do you think that's manifesting in a very real way?
Yeah, I think I it kind of hurts me to say the parting of the guard, because I think we're all very privileged to be in an era that Messi and Ronaldo are in, because not only is it their fantastic performances, but the fact that a lot of them have stayed injury free. I think that's something that has to be, like, you know, highlighted, because the magnificent games that they have had, they go like 9s and 10s out of 10 every single game. But I do think that Haaland and Mbappe are fantastic players. I still think, you know, they still need to do a little bit more to be up there with Messi and Ronaldo, in my opinion, but I do think they are there. Not at this moment in time, obviously. They've probably overtaken them when it comes to performances and stuff like that, but I do think that these players like Messi and Ronaldo have been at the top for, you know, 15 years or so, and been at the top level and been performing week in, week out. But it is an exciting time. Haaland and Mbappe, be interesting to see if they stay at the teams that they're at, because I know both of them are really sought after, so we'll have to wait and see.
I think the fact that Erling Haaland particularly seems to revel in the rivalry kind of added to that sense that, yeah, maybe this is going to be what we're going to see for the next 5-10 years. I think it was...
Yeah, I like his arrogance. Yeah. I like that.
But I think you also said, after Mbappe's hat-trick against Barcelona away, the next night he scored some goals, and he said, yeah, what Kylian Mbappe did yesterday made me want to score more goals. And I thought, all right, he's cottoned onto it. Whether it's, you know, whether he's being slightly tongue-in-cheek, I don't know, but they are... I mean, forward players are thrilling, right, to watch. And those two, this season in the Champions League, despite the fact neither graced the final, they were exceptional.
I think the only thing that Erling Haaland needs to work on is perhaps his interview game.
Oh, I like his interview.
Yeah, I like it now.
I think
so
good.
Blunt.
Yeah. What an incredible player. He will be back in the competition next season. Borussia Dortmund have qualified for it again, and he was saying this week that is very important to him. The Champions League season is over, but don't forget, less than 2 weeks away from UEFA Euro 2020, we have a live post-match show for you every night of action, and you can search and subscribe for the official special UEFA Euro 2020 podcast on your favourite provider. Me and Chris Parrott are going to be spending way too much time together in the coming weeks. OK, let's turn our attention back to tonight's action in Porto and get our players of the match. We've got a bit of time here to get into this. So, Leanne, who was the standout performer for you and why?
Yeah, you know, I think the first half performance, I was going with Reece James. I thought he was magnificent, but I think there's only one player, and that has to be N'Golo Kanté. I think he was brilliant. I know he got player of the match on the night, but he was absolutely brilliant. And he looks like he can play about five or six games. Like, yeah. He looked like he in a row, you know, the way that he plays. And I think the misconception is he doesn't cover much ground, you know, but the positioning that he's in, like there was one tackle he did in the game. It was almost like FIFA, you know, the way he stepped across and just took the ball was on a different level. So he's such a driving engine in that. So I'm going to have to go with him.
Antonio Rudiger. I think the real answer here is N'Golo Kanté, but I'm going to go with Rudy because the challenge at 0-0 when Phil Foden looked like he was in on goal and Rudiger came out of nowhere, one of those defensive centre-half challenges, you think, where's he popped up from? And you know what? For all of the things we've spoken about over the last 30 minutes or so, for all of the questions Manchester City will have and Pep Guardiola and the fact they haven't won it, had he not intervened there, Rudiger, and Foden scores that first goal, we might have spent the last 4 hours saying Pep Guardiola, genius, got his tactics absolutely spot on. Manchester City's night, start of an era of them dominating the competition.
It's funny, one goal. We make these big conclusions, yep. Don't we, either way. Mark, who was your player of the match?
Well, I mean, I had Conte, then I had Rudiger, but they've both gone. So next cab off the rank for me was going to be Ben Chilwell, who I thought was very neat and tidy and full of energy and gave them a lot of options and a lot of width on that left-hand side.
I'm gonna have to go Reece James. Leanne, you didn't go Reece James, no, you went Conte, yeah?
Yeah, I said first half Reece James, but...
Old Kai Havertz.
I think Reece James played himself... I know, I think Reece James played himself into that right wing-back role, didn't he?
He was brilliant.
For England, I mean... Absolutely incredible for him. Okay, let's get some more reaction. This is from, by the way, this is just after the whistle. So do your best to try and listen to Kai Havertz on a very special moment for him. He gives his reaction, scoring the winner in a Champions League final.
I waited a long time. Now I've done it. I just want to thank my family, my parents, my brother, my sister, my grandmother, my girlfriend. They're here in the stadium. I don't know what to say.
Says he's been waiting a long time. He's 21, isn't he, Mark?
He said 15 years, so since he was 6 years of age.
I don't think any six-year-olds have won the UEFA Champions League yet. OK, let's get the view from Manchester City now, of course. Pep Guardiola, there will be much discussion about his team selection tonight, the surprise call. He was asked if he did have any regrets about what happened in Porto.
The decisions I made, the players would have done, they did everything. Always the decision is to, you know, to try to win the game. And I think the game was exceptional, being the first time we are here. So I know the opponent, I know the games against Porto, Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid. The way we play today, the way we put him down in the second half, they made one action, the counter-attack with Pulisic, with Havertz, so long balls to Havertz is so strong, and second balls they win and run. They are so, it's a really good team, but we compete perfectly against them, so it was a tight game. And the second half we deserve to score one goal, we could not do it, and congratulations Chelsea.
This is always his thing, Leanne, in fairness. I mean, whenever he's pressed about rotation and changes, he bats the question away. He doesn't really want to get into it. He'll always just go, you know, I've got all these outstanding players and et cetera like that. Can you understand when he takes that point of view?
Potentially, because I think he'll probably hold his hands up in amongst the players when they, you know, do their analysis and talk about what they could have, would have, should have done. I think he does take responsibility at times, but, you know, he does know how to shy away from answering the question. But I do think some things will be, you know, dealt with in-house, if that makes sense. So when they go and they analyse the game, he'll say, you know, but I do believe he thought that team could have won the game. I genuinely do. So you can see he's disappointed. You know, who wouldn't be? But he just seemed a bit dejected tonight before, yeah, during the game and stuff. That's something I picked up on.
And he didn't seem to... I imagine, Mark, he'll give himself time to process what happened there, because he didn't want to get into details particularly, did he?
No, just picking up on something Leanne mentioned, he looked a bit lost during the game. You know, a few times just sort of staring out into space, like he was a bit lost for what he could do to try and turn things around and alter the flow of the game, which is incredible to think of. One thing he always does say is when he gets praise after a game and they say, you played really well today, he always says, because we won. Because he will always say, you know, we could have a brilliant performance, but if we lose the game, the narrative is something went wrong. Mm-hmm. He's always keen to stress that. However, on this occasion, they lost the game and I don't think they played well either.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's hear from the Chelsea head coach now, a man who'll be enjoying tonight a lot, I think, Thomas Tuchel.
Well, it's a huge experience and it's a huge success. Of course, we all will profit from that experience together, and we will use it to stay hungry and to grow and evolve from that. It's a huge step to arrive in the final. It's an even bigger one to bite your way through and to make it all the way to the cup. This is a fantastic achievement, and congratulations to everybody.
A lot of comeback stories in this Chelsea team as well, Chris. And Edouard Mendy as well, the goalkeeper, would be one of those.
Yeah, 22, 7 years ago, registered for unemployment, admits that he wondered whether he was going to have a career. First pro contract in Ligue 2 in France, second tier 24. And here he is, a 29, Champions League winner, having kept 9 clean sheets. That is a proper rags to riches tale. We love it.
Sign up the rights for the movie now, someone. Okay, everyone, thank you very much to Chris, to Mark, to Leanne as well. It has been an absolute pleasure to be joined by you this evening for a brilliant UEFA Champions League from Porto. That is all we have time for this evening. What a game it was. It has been another fantastic season, 2020-21. So thank you to each and every one of you for tuning in throughout the season. Don't forget to download our podcast where we have reviewed every match night of a pulsating season. Just go to your favorite podcast provider, and the Euro 2020 podcast is out soon too. But for now, from me and the rest of the Matchday Live team, congratulations to our new champions of Europe, Chelsea Football Club. Goodbye.
And Cesar Azpilicueta raises the UEFA Champions League trophy. Chelsea are winners in 2021. They are kings of the continent.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.